Lord has been working on me for some weeks now about a simple thought. It's out of the book of Judges. Our character tonight will be a man by the name of Gideon. And I believe the Lord would have us to think on this thought tonight. And I feel like there may be somebody here, and I believe the songs have already lined it up, that you may be having a valley experience. And I would remind you that for every valley, there are two mountaintops. Somebody ought to shout right there. I want to begin reading in the book of Judges chapter 6. But I want us to realize in Judges chapter 6 that Israel has gotten themselves into sin. The judgment of God falls. Israel had to flee to the mountains and to the caves and to dens to hide. You may say, wait a minute, Preacher Darren, you're talking about the valley, and you said to me that they run to the mountains and the caves and the dens to hide. Just because you may, what you think, live on a mountain doesn't mean that you're not going through a valley. We live in the mountains of Spruce Pine, North Carolina, but it may be that you're going through a valley in your life right now. Amen? So I'll ask you to stand. We'll look at Judges chapter 6. I want to begin reading at the very first verse. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. So we see a great enemy that Israel's facing, and it's a judgment of God that's come upon them because of their disobedience, because of their sin. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight now that you would help us to deliver what it is that thus saith the Lord. Father, I believe tonight that you've laid this thought on our heart because you've intended it for someone here, maybe by way of internet or even by CD. Lord, I pray that you would help them tonight, that God, you would speak to their hearts very clearly, and you would help them, Father, to have victory even though they're in this valley. I pray, Father, for that help tonight. Touch us, Father. Help us to preach. We'll not do it on our own. We'll not do it in our experience. No. Father, we are nothing. And I'm so thankful to admit that to you. I am nothing. But, Father, in you, if I'll abide in you, you'd help us. Father, I pray you'd touch us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on this thought. The victory that comes through the valley. Now, I heard about a little boy. And he went to school and took his lunch. And lunchtime came. And they went out for the lunchtime. And he sat down with his friend and opened up his paper bag lunch and unwrapped his sandwich. He laid it down. And he said, "Don't you look. Peanut butter again. Oh well, I'll eat it." And he did. The next day, came back to school, same thing, opened up his lunch, said to his friend, "Don't you look, peanut butter again." But he ate it. He came the third day and he unwrapped his sandwich, laid it down. He said, "Don't you look, peanut butter again." His buddy looked at him and said, "Listen, son, why don't you tell your mama, if you don't like peanut butter, to fix you something different?" He looked up and he said, "Don't you talk about my mother like that. I want you to know I make these sandwiches." And that's exactly what Israel's doing to themselves in this text. They are preparing their own peanut butter sandwiches that they don't like because of their sin, because of their disobedience. It's got them into a valley. And they can complain and whine and moan about it all they want to, But in that valley, they're there because of disobedience to God. Number one tonight, I want you to see the Lord's purpose for this valley in your life. First of all, I believe it was for discipline. Look at verse number 3. Even when Israel sowed their own fields, the enemy came and took their fields away from them. Verse 4. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. You'll notice for 7 years, the enemy has infiltrated the land of Israel. For 7 years, the enemy has impoverished, has taken all the fruit of the ground. You know, it's be a shame. Been a lot of sowing of the Word of God in most of our churches. Be a shame if the enemy came and took it. I want to say to you tonight, amen, hey, the seed of God, the Word of God is not for sale. And it's not for scooping up by the devil, amen. You and I need to make sure that we're obedient to the Lord God Almighty. So I believe this valley for Israel, this valley, came because of discipline. What is the purpose for this valley? God allowed this valley for 7 years in their lives to discipline the children of God. They're intimidated by the enemy. They're impoverished by the enemy. And look at verse 7. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Boy, I like that, don't you? In the time of 7 years of discipline, chastisement from the Lord, when they cried out to the Lord, God sent him a man of God to preach to them. God sent him a man of God to declare truth to them. Hey, if the man of God came by your way and preached to you and declared to you what thus saith the Lord, you ought to say, amen. Boy, I appreciate it. When I couldn't understand it, when I was having trouble swallowing it, God sent the man of God to break it down some and help me understand the Word of God. Hey, here they are in discipline time in the valley, and God sends them a man in the valley to preach to them. This is what he said. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. The man of God says, you've been in bondage 400 years, it is in Egyptian bondage, but I delivered you from that and told you don't ever turn back to them false gods. Don't ever go back with a spirit of rebellion. Don't ever become disobedient again. And what have you done? You've disobeyed my word again. And so God says, this valley has come to you because of discipline. This valley has come to you because of God's displeasure about things in your life. You may say, Preacher Darren, I don't feel real good about this message right now. What are you trying to say? Would you hold your place right here and let's read something about the book of Judges, chapter 17, about the days in which they lived. Judges chapter 17 and in verse number 6. Because it's very clear to me that God gave Israel victory, but they forgot God. In fact, Judges 17:6 says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Look at chapter 21, verse number 25. Judges 21, verse number 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel, Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I want to say this tonight, that our nation, the reason we're in the valley we're in is because we have not obeyed the Lord. We have forgotten and we have forsaken the Lord God Almighty. So he allows the enemies to come to attack us, to intimidate us, to impoverish our land. Every day, the job you go to, every day, the things that surround your life, they're influenced by the valley that God has allowed to come to our nation. And it's high time we awoke and prayed for our nation, because we live in a land that has decided she will do what's right in her own eyes rather than what the Word of God says for us to do. You see, America used to have a standard, but now we have no standard what is right and what is wrong. In fact, one of the enemies of the church used to be sin. But nowadays, the enemy of the church is guilt. Preacher Darren, don't make me feel bad about my sin. I don't like that kind of preaching. We used to preach against sin, but you didn't like it because it made you feel guilty. We don't like that kind of, we won't feel good preaching. We want somebody to tell us how it needs to be and make us feel like we're already there. We live in a no-fault society. Our court systems are faulty. I mean, we call wrong right and right wrong. And I could, I've got a dozen of these or more just comes to mind. I can think about a robbery took place in New York City to a local shop owner. He took out his pistol, which he was allowed to have, and shot and wounded the robber. It left the robber paralyzed. He sued the man that he robbed for shooting him. When it went to court, I wrote this down, when it went to court, the lawyer stood up and said that this man who was doing the robbery was a victim of society and that he was driven to crime because of his economic disadvantage. Therefore, the shop owner who was being robbed should be the one that's guilty of insensitivity because he has a callous disregard for the thief's plight. They said this poor criminal will be in a wheelchair the rest of his life. And the jury agreed, and they made the store owner pay a settlement to the man who robbed him. That's us calling wrong right. Within 2 years, this same man, now in a wheelchair, was caught robbing a convenience store in downtown New York, doing the same thing over again. I'm telling you, there is a no-fault society that we now live in. And I believe that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. All America wants is to make us feel good about self. Preacher, how dare you say it? It's amazing that nobody has conviction anymore. Everybody has opinions, but we don't have convictions. Do you see the Lord's purpose for the valley to these Israelites? They have been disobedient to God, and God is voicing his displeasure. And I say there's a reason for the valley in which America is in tonight. Number two, I see the Lord's presence in this valley. Now, he sent him a man to preach to him, and he said, "You have not obeyed my voice." But look at verse 11. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Now we see the Lord's presence in the valley. See it in that verse. Do you see it? Now here's the angel of the Lord, and he shows up to show himself to a man by the name of Gideon. Now what's Gideon doing? The Bible says he's threshing wheat. But where is he threshing wheat? Somebody tell me, you Bible students, I'd make my Bible class tell me. Somebody tell me, where's he threshing wheat? By the wine press. Now, if you know anything at all, the wine press is not on top of the mountain. You go to the top of the mountain to thresh your wheat because the wind blows on the top of the hill better and it blows the chaff away. But Gideon's not on the top of the mountain where everybody can see him. He's down in the valley. The wine press is in the valley, so when you mash that grape juice, it runs downhill and it gathers. So he's down in the wine press threshing wheat in the wine press. You might say that Gideon is in the valley. In fact, Gideon is more in the valley probably than anybody else in the land of Israel. But we see him there, and what does Gideon get in the valley in his life? He gets a vision. Preacher Darren, what? Hey, where there is no vision, the people perish. What vision did Gideon get? He got a vision of the Lord, even though he was living in the valley of his eyes, of his life. You see what he's done? He's took his eyes off of the enemy that surrounds him, and he's got his eyes on the Lord. You got your eyes on the problem. You got your eyes on the valley. I'm telling you what, in the valley, we need to get our eyes on the Lord. And the Lord appears to Gideon. And Gideon did not disrespect him. Gideon did not push him aside. Gideon took full notice that the Lord had made an appearance unto him. Now, it's great to have the Lord speak to you and appear to you like that. You may say, Preacher Darren, the Lord hasn't appeared to me like that. He doesn't speak to me like that. Sure he does. What you got in your hand right now? The Word of God. God has spoken to you about the valley in your life. In fact, he told me tonight to have y'all turn to this chapter, and God is giving you a personal visitation to tell you that I see you in your valley and I want you to see me through my Word. In fact, you have another advantage. Gideon didn't have the Bible. You have another advantage Gideon didn't have. You have the Spirit of God who lives inside you to lead you and to guide you and to direct you. Praise God. He'll lead us through the valley, amen, to higher ground. I say praise God for that. So I see Gideon has a vision in the valley. And tonight, are you in the valley? Then if you're in the valley, I've got good news for you. That the Lord's presence has showed up in your valley and he's speaking to your heart from his word and leading you by the Spirit of God. And you ought to say, praise God, I never thought about that. But the Lord has given me direct contact tonight. Hallelujah. He's visiting me in my valley. Now, just as much as we've talked about God's miracles, hey, the Lord's miracles begin with our problems. Hey, the Lord's visitation appears and happens when we get in our valley. So I see the vision from the valley. And then look at the verse, next verse, verse 12. I see the valor in the valley. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Valor means courage. Now some of y'all know what you're thinking. Now wait a minute, preacher. I got a real problem with that verse because we see Gideon. He's threshing wheat, supposed to be doing it on top of the mountain. But because they've been impoverished, that means that the Midianites take everything away from them as soon as they see it. Gideon knew if they see me threshing wheat, they'll steal my wheat. I've got to go hide out down here. Don't want nobody to find out where I am. And the Lord knew just exactly where he was in his valley, hiding out from the enemy. And the Lord said to him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You mighty man of courage. Wait a minute. How's he a man of courage when he's supposed to be up here on the mountaintop and he's hiding out down there? Preacher Darren, I'm just not following that. Can you imagine when he looked at Gideon and said, thou mighty man of valor, you know Gideon probably looked around and said, must be somebody else. Who else is down? Hey man, he's surely not talking to me. There's no way. And in fact, look what he said. Verse 13, Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did the Lord
Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord God looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Do you hear him? He said, we're from the tribe of Manasseh. We're the poorest tribe. In fact, I'm the run of the family. I'm the least of the least. I'm the lowest of the low. Don't you see where I am? I'm in the valley. Why in the world would you choose to speak to me when I'm in the valley? Because he's wanting to get you out of the valley. And he says, you're a mighty man of valor. I just don't get it. I'm the least of the least. I mean, why would the Lord even speak to me? Verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. What does that mean? God's saying, hey, Gideon, come here a minute. I am going to be your power. I am going to be your might. I am going to be the one that strengthens you. I am choosing you, and you're going to stand, but I'm going to fight the battle. And Gideon in the valley says, Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to feel like the runt and the weakling anymore. I'm going to let the Lord fight my battles for me. I'm going to let the Lord be the all-powerful one in my life. I'm going to stop hiding out, and I'm going to stop trying to figure it out, and I'm going to let the Lord take control. What the Lord is saying in the valley, I just want you, Gideon, to trust me. And if you'll trust me in the valley, I see you as a man of valor. I see you as a woman of courage if you'll trust me in your valley. It's going to take a lot of courage to trust the Lord where you are. It's going to take a lot of valor to be able to look to the Lord in your situation. And Gideon does just that. In fact, I want to fast forward to chapter 7, verse 1. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of this people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned the people, 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So now Gideon goes out. He's trusting the Lord, this man of a vision in the valley, this man of a valor in the valley, goes out and says, The Lord says he's going to deliver us. And 32,000 rose up and said, Yes, we'll fight with you. And God said, Gideon, you've got so many people with you, they're going to think they did it and not me. And so we need to have a test here. He said, You've got too many. So I tell you what I'm going to do. You stand up and you tell them the fearful and those that are scared and afraid of this battle, tell them to go to the house. Now Gideon probably thought, Well, I won't lose but about a dozen or two. I mean, this is no big deal. So he stands up in the pulpit and he says, The Lord says that we have a project ahead of us. We need to do this and this and this, and we're going to fight a great battle, but God's going to fight it for us, and he's going to give us a great victory. And the Lord said, All of you that's afraid can go home. And 22,000 people tucked their tails and walked away and left Gideon with 10,000 men. And Gideon was absolutely shocked. I want to say this about having valor, being a man of, or a woman of valor in the valley. God will not use a coward. The reason he won't is because your cowardly way will infect everybody else around you. When Moses sent the 12 spies out, they came back and two of them said, "Woo, praise God, look at these grapes. Man, we can win the battle there." The other 10 said, "No. Man, there's giants in the valley down there of the in Eshcol. I want you to know it's a dangerous place. We don't need to go there just yet. They're stronger than us." They had fear. They were cowards. I'm asking this question. Did God use their cowardly ways? What they did was those 10 infected 2 million Jews probably. And they did not pass over at that point in time into the promised land because of their fear. God's not going to use a coward. Wait a minute, Preacher Darren, I am a coward. I told you, you're not a coward if you'll trust the Lord. 22,000 people said, "We're not going to trust the Lord with this." No, we're going to the house. Can I read you a verse of scripture about this? Deuteronomy chapter number 20. Preacher Darren, I'm having a hard time thinking that God will not use a coward. You see, fear suits you for failure, not for standing and fighting. Okay? God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7 tells us that. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 8. "The officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart." Fear, are you looking at me? Fear is more contagious than the common cold. Philippians 1:28 says this, "We are in nothing to be terrified by our adversaries." The Bible says, "Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." Amen? So be a man or a woman of valor in this valley. Now we're there in chapter 7, right? Look at verse 4. "And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many."